Hey guys, what's going on? It's Josh, JC Alfelto for The Writer's Lens, and happy holidays, happy new year, ringing in the end of 2017 here, right up to the end, as this will probably be my last episode. I mean, I guess it has to be. It's December 31st, so appreciate everybody that's been checking in throughout the year. I'm ending it here on a nice, good, even number with episode 20, which is titled Be Unique, Be Yourself. Wait, what does that even mean? And I promise you that this will tie back to writing and creative pursuits as I go through this, but I wanted to unpack these two sayings, this be unique, be yourself concept, because it tends to be something that can be thrown around in the creative circles from time to time whenever someone's looking for advice or they're trying to find their voice or their proper expression. You know, someone maybe have the best intentions and tell them, hey, you know what, just find a way to be unique. And find a way to be yourself. You know, just be yourself with whatever it is you're doing. And honestly, within the context, not bad things to tell somebody. But me personally, I'm not a big fan of hearing these kinds of sentiments. And I'll tell you why. Well, first reason is everybody's unique. Okay, every person is unique in some way. Okay, but can you tell a unique story? Is the real question you need to be asking yourself. And secondly, every person can be true to his or herself in some regard, but are you willing to tell the truth of whatever it is that you're going to write about or whatever it is that you're going to express? I think these are more important questions you need to ask yourself from a creative standpoint because, like I said, everybody's unique in some way, and everybody can be true to themselves about something, but can you tell a unique story, and are you willing to tell the truth of a certain circumstance? Are you willing to do those kinds of things? And I want to unpack that a bit because, like I said, the phrases be unique and be yourself are things that you can hear in a lot of different areas. And I want to make sure that this stays on point from at least a creative standpoint. So let's just start off with be unique. Because as I had said before, everybody's unique. Okay, we all have unique offerings. No two people are the same. As I said, though, you have to be willing to apply yourself to figuring out what it is to tell a unique story. And in order to do that, you have to apply some discipline to honing whatever your unique story is. You have to study storytelling. You have to study what good storytelling looks like. You got to study the pros, as it were. Yes, there are prodigies that happened like Mozart, but for the most part, you can't make jumps from elementary essays to New York Times bestseller lists. Okay, it just doesn't normally happen unless you've got really good connections somewhere. Right, or something of that nature. So there's this element of experience with making yourself unique rather than just being born with it. Because I think that's something that, especially when I first started writing, I kind of had a bit of a chip on my shoulder because I knew I was really good at writing when I was young, and I was in school, I was in high school, I was in college, or younger, I guess I could say. But I really felt like because I was good in those areas, I was just naturally gifted, and I was never really going to have to put myself into a place where I would have to discipline myself to be better and to study other people because it just came naturally. And I could put words together, I could make paragraph after paragraph just kind of run together seamlessly, and there was no big deal. But what really does separate the pros from the amateurs, the novices, the folks that are the wannabes out there that actually want to be able to do things like the pros and imitate them, is that you have to be able to hone the discipline of being able to tell a good story. And just telling yourself that you're going to be unique usually doesn't really cut it. And it's the same for music. Okay, it's the same for music. I mean, you listen to a lot of music that you like, and if you're trying to create similar music, then you will do that based upon the people that you study. So the same goes for writing. Okay, you know, music, I think, is a pretty good example of, you always hear, well, such and such was his musical influences, or her musical influences were such and such. The same is applied to writing stories. Who are your biggest influences? Who are the people that, when you read their books, you went, oh man, I want to be like that person. I see my style being very similar. For me, I've always thought that my style is very similar to Orson Scott Card. He's one of my favorite authors. But then if you ask somebody else who reads my stuff, they'll tell me that I sound like a horror writer, which sometimes is like, okay, I wasn't expecting that. But if you're comparing me to Stephen King or somebody in the like, then I'll take that. I'm totally cool with that. So that's something that, you know, especially for me, myself, over the years, just seeing that in order to be unique, you got to have some disciplines there. It's just not this natural thing that you're just born into and you go, oh, okay, I'm always going to be this gifted writer. To tell a unique story, you got to have some discipline behind it. So be yourself. Okay, so this is part two now of unpacking this. And this one is a little bit more, I don't want to say complex, but there's a little more meat here in this one because be yourself is such a powerful and popular phrase. I mean, just outside of creative outlets, it's an extremely powerful phrase. I mean, you see it in marketing, ad placements, it's all over the place. Okay, be yourself, be you, you know, here, drink a glass of milk, put on our newest raincoat, okay? Like, be yourself is such a powerful, powerful thing. Well, why is the question? You know, why is be yourself such a powerful piece of advice? Well, first of all, it's entirely subjective. And it's very vague, which vagueness usually translates to not good. But in this case, it gives you, the person who hears it, the ability to go, well, wow, I can just do whatever I want. You know, I may not like myself, but maybe the person I want to be is out there somewhere. And it's an extremely open path, and it's not narrow, and I can do whatever I want. This is the essence of the be yourself kind of mantra, right? Is I can just pick and choose whatever is most attractive to me. So it gives you free rein. I mean, it gives you free rein. It gives the person giving you advice free rein to just walk away from it and say, yes, I've done my due diligence. I've given you the ammunition to be yourself, and away we go. But hearing this, especially from a creative standpoint, when someone tells you, hey, man, just be yourself when you're going to write this book. Just be yourself. Just be the voice you want to be. There's a couple pitfalls there because very rarely when it comes down to this be yourself kind of concept on a very broad scale, we don't always choose very well when it comes to things that we want to be ourselves with. I mean, within context, for instance, if I was about to give a speech and I was kind of getting nervous and someone pulled me aside and said, hey, Josh, you know, just be yourself up there. Don't worry about it. Okay, that's fine within the context. But what if I'm writing a book and someone goes, dude, just be yourself in this book. Just be yourself. Well, myself might be very untrained. Myself could be extremely unaware of other people who have done similar ideas. I mean, there's no homework being done, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And for me, especially when I first started writing and I wanted to do, when I wanted to write books, I just chose what was easiest at the time. I just chose what was easiest, which was satire and it was sarcasm and it was humor. And I thought, this is what I should do. I'm just being true to myself. This is something that was very natural for me. But as I went forward in all this, I realized that I was actually ignoring a big part of myself, which was really digging into what it was I wanted to write about and what it was I think I was really meant to write about. And these are the two questions that I think that are the takeaways from this episode that I want to share. Is the better question to be asking yourself and unpacking is, what do I want to write about? That's the first one. Because if we ask ourselves, like, what do we want? You can kind of rattle those off pretty quickly. Well, I want to be a New York Times bestseller. I want to be influential in the social media landscape. You know, I want to be able to do book signings. I want to be able to do different events. You know, these are kind of selfish things in a way, things you want to do. But when it comes to what you want to write about, it's at least a start. Okay, it's at least a start to be asking yourself this question. But even deeper beneath that is, what are you made for? What am I made for? What am I made to write about? What am I meant to write about? This is a much bigger question to be asking yourself. And it's a much better one, too. And it's a lot better question, I would argue, because it starts to dive into what is it that you're actually going to be writing for? Or what story is it that you actually want to tell? I mean, could you be speaking to experience? Could it be a memoir? Could it be, you know, some kind of injustice that you've seen or perhaps heard about? Could it be some sort of inspirational way that you want to tell your story? Any of those things all add up into this question of what am I made to write? What am I meant to write about? So I like that questioning a little bit better when it comes to trying to answer, you know, where our voices are. Like, what are we supposed to do as entrepreneurs when we're thinking about the, you know, just whatever it is that we want to write about? Ask yourself that question. What am I meant to write about? What am I made to write about? And a lot of times your story might not be ready yet. You know, it may not be ready yet, whatever it is that you're supposed to be writing. Like my story, The Road to Mars, was not ready to write when I was back trying to do satire and stuff because I didn't have that answer to that question yet. I wasn't asking myself that question. But when I started to kind of drill into and figure out, kind of going the long way around, when I did the the first two books I did, the Epiphanies Theories, Downright Good Thoughts books, I realized that this was not what I was meant to be doing. I wasn't meant to be this person writing satire. I was meant to do something else. So I just want to leave with that bit of encouragement, what I want to kind of end here with 2017 is just this idea of, you know, what are you meant for? What are you made for? What's the purpose of why you're doing what you're doing creatively, whatever your passion project is? Understand what those motivations are and those intentions, and that might change the way you discipline yourself to try and tell that really unique story. So just a bit of encouragement there as I wrap up 2017. Guys, really looking forward to 2018. I want to thank you all the listeners that have been tuning in this past year in 2017. I'll be kickstarting with some more interviews next year to bring in the new year. Got some fun and perhaps some return guests as well here on the Writer's Lens. So I'm looking forward to that especially. So until then, stay safe, guys, on this New Year's, and I'll catch up with you again soon on the Writer's Lens.